Welcome to our worship service for the Lenten season for March 10th, 2021. This worship service has been recorded and being given as an opportunity for us to share God's love for all of us. Now let's join together in this time of worship.
Kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. The Lord God said, I will give you a new heart and a new mind. I will take away your stubborn heart of stone and give you an obedient one. Come and worship God and learn what it means to be free. Let us pray. O God, the fountain of life, to a humanity parched with thirst, you offer the living water of grace which springs up from the rock, our Savior Jesus Christ. Grant your people the gift of your Spirit, that way we may learn to profess our faith with courage and announce with joy the wonder of your love. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Now this I affirm and insist on in the Lord. You must no longer live as the Gentiles live, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of their ignorance and hardness of heart. They have lost all sensitivity and have abandoned themselves to licentiousness, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. That is not the way you learned Christ. It for surely you have heard about him and were taught in him, as truth is in Jesus. You were taught to put away your former way of life, your old self, corrupt and deluded by its lusts, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to clothe yourselves with the new self, created according to the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing rather than let them labor and work honestly with their own hands so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you.
Thank you, Elise. Our gospel lesson comes from the gospel according to Matthew, chapter 5, verses 21 through 26, and then 43 through 48. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Right before this were the Beatitudes. And Jesus is teaching a large crowd of people who have gathered because they're just hungering for the wisdom of the word that he's sharing. One of the things that doesn't come through to us really clearly is that there is some laughter and humor in what's being described. For one thing, remember that the place where he's talking to these people in Galilee is in the northern section. It's about 55 miles away from the temple. And so in this section, a little bit further into the passage, when he's talking about you're walking the approximately 100 steps from the place where you would prepare your sacrifice to coming and offering it at the altar, but you suddenly realize that there's somebody 55 miles away with whom you have an issue. And so you make a quick diversion that 55 miles away to reconcile that before coming 55 miles back in order to offer your gift. Trust me, it was really funny in the right setting. So anyway, from Matthew chapter 5, 21 through 26, and then 43 through 48, Jesus was teaching and he said, You have heard it, that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, you fool, you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you're on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those that persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. May the Lord bless us and teach us through the gift of this word. Amen. Please join me in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we struggle with things that seem simple on the surface, things like letting go of our past hurts, putting experiences into perspective, being aware of the ways in which we are part of relationships that sometimes need healing. But in truth, these are the things that frequently rob us of our peace, of our hope. They cause us such turmoil. We hold on to grudges. We refight old battles in our minds. We retain grievances for offenses that haven't mattered for a very long time. We pray, Jesus, that you would help us to find freedom through forgiveness. But honestly, we're not real sure how that works. We struggle in part because we've never learned how to put into practice the lessons that have been shared over thousands of years. Let this time be a time of renewal and healing as we come to know your love and your promises, and we learn the wisdom of forgiveness. Let this be the time in which we are transformed, released, and no longer weighed down by these burdens that we drag behind us. Teach us to forgive. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. When the topic of forgiveness does come up, it's amazing to me how little we really understand. And especially so many of the false images and mistakes that we make in assuming that forgiveness is somehow a denial of our feelings, a release of other people's faults against us. We even often tell ourselves that forgiveness is something that other people have to earn so that, you know, we would be able to do that, which is kind of silly because, frankly, whether you hold the grievance against that person or you forgive them generally isn't going to make a whole lot of difference to them. But it makes a world of difference to ourselves. Whether we forgive or hold account generally is never going to influence the other person's behavior, cause them any discomfort. What is going to matter, though, is if we forgive, we can allow that thing to be left in our past, and we can move forward renewed and with a completely different perspective, a hope, a transformation. We're not a culture that values forgiveness, though, and we don't really understand the benefits of not carrying the burdens of past hurts and grievances. Instead, we love good revenge. We love vengeance. We love those stories of someone being able to somehow come up with a great comeback or a means to be able to make the other person feel sorry. You don't get a lot of stories in our culture in which somebody says, I was attacked and humiliated, and one day I just completely let it go. I mean, that's not the kind of story that people tell around in as they are sharing their different accomplishments. Now, we like stories like one that I happened to see recently was the woman who was driving to park at her work, and she was cut off by some guy who came rushing in, took the parking space that she was just starting to head into, and then he slammed the door on his car and he flipped her off and he called her a rude word as he walked off. And she realized later that he was in a hurry for a job interview with her. That's the kind of story we like. We like the story in which power gets to be used. Somehow somebody gets what's coming to them. And the problem is those are satisfying stories. But in real life, being able to be free, unburdened, to be at peace, that's actually going to be a lot more valuable to us. It's going to be much more powerful.
Our problem is that we laud and we appreciate vengeance, but what we really crave is peace. And on top of that, the person who has developed a life of forgiveness, a manner of being able to live at peace with themselves and with others, has so much more power in their life. They are not trying to continue to refight and rerun battles from the past. They aren't squandering their energy focused on who they continue to hold a grievance against. When they sit in a place of quiet and comfort, they don't have lurking at the edge of their mind the various issues that they want to continue to refight. And forgiveness is something we don't completely understand, and it's not something we recognize until we start to really get the benefit of it. That takes a little time. One of the other big problems with forgiveness is we assume that that's just an act of self-restraint. I'm going to stop feeling upset about the thing somebody did. I'm going to somehow just no longer allow this thing to affect me, which that doesn't work. It never is going to work. And what's kind of odd is in our culture, we don't teach the practices of forgiveness. We somehow expect people to pick them up on their own. In past times in the church, forgiveness was something that was coached. It's something that you went to various elders and leaders in the church to help you master. And that's partly because forgiveness is not just one thing. It's a process. It's a alignment. In the past couple of months, as we have spent a lot of times with Netflix, we found a show that is called The Repair Shop. I don't know if any of you have found it. And it's a place that takes place in England. What it really is the Weald and Downing Living Museum. And they have a group of artisans who come in and people bring family heirlooms, precious items, things that have had some history in their life. And they have a wide range of craftspeople, a silversmith, a porcelain expert, a painting, a person who restores paintings, a clockmaker, all of these different people who then put their various skills together to take this thing which is broken, this thing which was precious in the family. And usually there's a story of how it got knocked down off of the mantle, or how in the process of moving it, it was crushed, or any number of things. The thing which is interesting, such as when there was a mantle clock that had been made in the early 1800s, how the parts of it, part of it had to go to a furniture restorer. The face had to go to the ceramics expert so that she could remake the face. The jewelry maker had to redo the bezel. And of course, the clockmaker had to take all of the parts apart. And there are all of these skills that were involved, each of them put together in order to bring back together this thing which was broken. That's what forgiveness is really about. And especially forgiveness has to go through stages. Very often, we don't have the tools to do the forgiveness, but we have to start with the commitment. We choose to be in a process of forgiveness and trust the Holy Spirit to help us with the artisans we need to put things back together. One of the things that's very fun with the restoration process is that in these types of situations, it's important not to make the thing perfect, not to recover something that doesn't have the marks, the scratches, the signs of its history. The goal is to restore it to a place where it retains all of its past, but it's beautiful as it was intended to be. And that's the goal of forgiveness, That's what's supposed to happen. And it's interesting how it is a long process for us. In my own life, I had an experience when I was in college. I was attending a church and we had a parting of the way, myself and the congregation. I had been teaching a youth group and I had been part of a number of things, and they really became uncomfortable with my college studies, with my faith questions that I was starting to deal with that they didn't feel were appropriate for a Christian to question about things such as what we were talking about earlier this evening about whether Noah really did build an ark and if there was a trail of manure in the water behind it. But the thing which I later on, I have to admit to all of you, is that my biggest frustration was that they rejected me before I got a chance to reject them. Because I really would have liked to have been the one who had broken the relationship first. The relationship had reached a point in which it wasn't healthy. But I walked away from it with a lot of anger and a lot of hostility and frustration, a sense of rejection and a feeling of not being wanted. And so I had this broken thing. And the thing which was interesting was that the first artisan to work on my broken faith ended up being a Swami who was Hindu. And part of what made it difficult was this Hindu Swami at that time was one of the best Christians I had ever met. He was able to talk with me about the faith in a way that articulated Christ's teachings in a powerful and profound way, even though he himself continued to retain his Hindu faith, but he could minister to a Christian in a Christian faith. This confused the heck out of me. As a young Christian at that time, how a person who was not of the right faith and the right religion could turn out to be such a dynamic and powerful person in his faith and could minister Christ's love so effectively, that kind of opened me up to the next one of the transformative relationships, which was with some Presbyterian pastors. And either fortunately or unfortunately, they're the ones that largely bundled me off to seminary eventually. And so you can see how forgiveness moves from stage to stage. It's not about knowing exactly a program or a plan. It's a commitment to put on Christ rather than to hold on to grievance, to participate in God's plan rather than try and seek some sort of retaliation or vengeance or to focus on that which was left. The thing which is interesting about that journey and that path of forgiveness is the emotion and the fear and the anger, that's passed a long time ago. But the path of that forgiveness continues. It continues to bear fruit. It continues to be something that enables the understanding that God works through a wide range of people. And that one act of rejection that I experienced so long ago has borne a huge fruit of understanding and love and God's compassion that I've experienced ever since. That's the way forgiveness is supposed to work. Kind of like going back to the repair shop mentality, that treasured vase that has been held in the family for generations, getting knocked off the mantle and broken, is not the end of the story. The repairing of it and the putting it back together and the experience of wholeness that actually fixes some other cracks but still retains the history, that becomes something that can hold something even more than just the flowers or the space that it held before. That's God's intention for forgiveness for each of us. In the passages from this evening, and especially the Ephesians passage, one of the things that's important to understand is that forgiveness does not happen after we cease to be angry. Forgiveness is not something that takes place after we stop being hurt. Quite the opposite. The Apostle Paul talks about those who are darkened in the continuing walking of their rage. And then he moves on in the next paragraph to say, to not allow the sun to go down on our anger. And what this means is not a literal to make sure that you cease to be angry by the end of the day. Anybody who thinks that has never been really angry. The thing which is about the sun going down on our anger is not to allow our anger to become something that makes us calloused, hostile, indifferent, to not allow our anger to be the thing which defines and gives us our identity and causes us to run all of our conversations and our perceptions through its lens. What the Apostle Paul says is to take our anger seriously as something that we need to look at and own, to recognize and work through. And that instead of choosing to serve the anger, that we choose Christ, and that we are going to be angry as we work through forgiveness. Backing up in the Bible, remember the first real clear story of forgiveness is Esau and Jacob. And in that story, in that moment of forgiveness in Genesis, Esau's brother Jacob, who had wronged him, who had defrauded him, who had stolen everything precious from them, comes into Esau's sight, and Esau hugs him and holds him close, kisses him on the cheek, and he says, "I forgive you. And if you stay on the other side of the Jordan, I won't kill you." That's kind of your first level. That's the beginning point of forgiveness. I'm going to choose not to retaliate. I'm going to choose to open myself to what God will do rather than to hold on to the plans that I would hatch, the intentions that I would nurse, the desires that I would continue to hold on to that would do harm. That first step, though, to choose, that's the foundation of forgiveness. Forgiveness is not about no longer feeling what we feel. Quite the opposite. Forgiveness is going to go through a wide range of emotions. And the other thing is that when we choose the path of forgiveness, we almost always discover that the thing which we're upset about is not the actual root of what is causing us the discomfort and the pain. We discover that that person who made us feel like we didn't belong is connected to a sibling who hurt our feelings so deeply when we were children, or is connected to an experience when we were in school in elementary age, or is connected to something that happened with a best friend who disappointed us. Very frequently, what we discover through the path of forgiveness, as soon as we open ourselves and we say we choose, rather than to continue to hold on, rather than continue to nurse the grievance, that God starts to bring people into our lives that help us to recognize that there was a lot more going on there than we realized in the first place. But as the repairs are made, and as those places that are broken are mended, we discover that we're connected to so many things that God wants to make beautiful and whole and to heal. Remember, your strongest places of faith come from the broken places that have been mended. Your closeness to God arises from the path of forgiveness. The places in which you have a message to share with the world do not come from the places where everything's gone well. They come from the stories of God's grace working forgiveness through your life. Our biggest challenge is not to find the path of forgiveness, but simply to choose that God would show us that path. God has a tendency to make the path pretty apparent and quite effective. Our hardest challenge is choosing to let the Holy Spirit show us the way and to put on Christ as we take off the grievances. Please join me in prayer. God, you offer to heal and to work with our broken places and the emotions that go with them. We offer to you our need for validation, our desires for revenge and vengeance. We give to you the attacking and blaming thoughts that we harbor in our minds and our desire to see others be punished for the things that we have identified as wrong. As you come to dwell with us, though, O Lord our God, we acknowledge that the place in our own mind and in our own heart is kind of a mess. We've scattered a lot of unfinished business all around. We've left trash that should have been thrown out in our soul. And we leave hurt and anger around rather carelessly, not recognizing that it needs to be put into your hands. Guide us with these things. Give us your presence so that we might have confidence to believe that you can make forgiveness the strength in which we dwell. We especially give this to you at this time so that we might be transformed and renewed and set free to be able to be your people. We give you thanks and praise, O Lord, for the love you've shared with us. And we're grateful for Jesus, our Savior, and his healing love. In the name of Christ, our Lord and Savior, we do pray. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and in life everlasting. Amen.